If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, Busted Open Nation, here on a Saturday. It is a weekend edition, podcast edition of Busted Open Radio. I am Ryan McKinnell, your weekend host. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, across the way. And Mark, we got a lot to get to today here on the podcast, including a full recap of SmackDown on Friday night, which involved one Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, and potentially Sheamus. A lot of chaos on Friday night SmackDown, Mark Henry.
So much chaos and a lot of turmoil from the fans and fallout with what happened with Jeff Hardy. So I'm curious to see how people are going to take what we said about it.
Absolutely. And we will also get to the finals of the Intercontinental Title Championship Tournament, which we now know is going to involve Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. And Mark, I got high expectations for this tournament final. I mean, when you put AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan in the ring, that is a recipe for magic.
We didn't know how it was going to happen, but we got it. And we're looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with it. I think that AJ Styles and Sheamus, or AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, are going to tip the Fantastic for us. We just got to look and see what's going to happen.
Well, speaking of tipping the Fantastic sexual chocolate, we do weekly winner here on this Saturday show. And Mark, I am trying to think, yes, we do weekly winner every single week, right? I know fans look forward to it. I certainly look forward to it. But this week was especially wonderful in the sense that I think in terms of overall grades, I think this is the highest week we've given the entire business. Just a great, great week for professional wrestling. And it was really hard picking a weekly winner.
It was very difficult picking weekly winner this week. Raw was spectacular. On Wednesday, we had AEW and NXT, which both got A pluses. And then we had another A minus last night on SmackDown. So much to get into. So much good wrestling. Great promos on all shows. New and innovative ways that the WWE produced their shows, with having the plexiglass around. We'll talk about all that on the podcast today.
And all you got to do is sit back, relax, and click play. Get it going. Bust it open on a Saturday. I'm Ryan. That's Mark. Don't miss it. Let's go.
You know what, man? It's a disgrace to this country to still be in a place where we can't get together and say, you know what, man? Let's govern the country the same for every human being that lives in it. And I have friends that are police officers that are just
sure
they just can't believe the stress. You wouldn't believe the stress that they're under. And, you know, of course, the first thing I did was call who was closest to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, what can be done? Because I'm not blaming this on you, but something has to be done. It's got to be police officers that start standing up for this, not black police officers. All police officers have got to stand up and start to mobilize and say, listen, if you are a racist, if you are a criminal, if you are a hustler and a police officer, you got to pick one, because you're making it bad on everybody. Because if I get killed because of some shit that you did, my wife and kids are going to be without a father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the tire meets the road. It's up to the police to police the police. And now every human citizen in America, every time you see a cop pull somebody over, every time you see a cop coning off an area, the cameras need to start rolling from everybody, white, black, Spanish, Asian, Indian, any denomination that you consider yourself to be in, ethnic group or whatever, start videoing them. Because one of the things that happened in that video was one cop turned his back, so his camera was facing another direction. The other two stood so close to the police car that all you could see was the police car. You didn't see what was going on. They knew what was happening.
They formed a barrier.
They formed a barrier with no camera footage from them. And as hard as it is for me as a black man in America already, the last thing I need is for the people that are protecting me, for me to be afraid of them. And I've been in the car at least 10 times in the 23 years that I wrestled where I got pulled over. And I'm pretty confident. So I never was afraid.
Mark, you cast a pretty large shadow.
But I've also been instructed by people that were close to me. Hey, man, when the cops come, and they're gonna come, they're already fearful of what might be happening in a car. Every one of them that walk up to a car, turn all the lights on in the car, roll all the windows down in the car. Put your hands at 10 and 2. And as much as you want to say, why the fuck are you pulling me over? You should be more like, hello, officer, what's the problem? Well, the problem is, and you go through it, and you get on the road, and you live. My white counterparts don't have to do that, because when they turn the light on, there's an association of this person, you know, he might be a doctor, he might be a lawyer, he might be a salesman, he's probably a good guy. In America, we still suffer from this racism of this black dude might be a drug dealer, or he might be a thug, or he might be, I mean, even our president is using the terms that's very counterproductive. I think that everybody needs to step away from this situation and realize we're in a powder keg type of situation right now. There's a lot of, you see all of the celebrities, African-American celebrities. I've seen Will Smith and Jamie Foxx, and you name a football player, basketball, golf, marble, stealing, whatever. Everybody is becoming an activist about it, and something's got to be done.
Well, you bring up the African American celebrities, actors. You bring up Will Smith. I go back to that line from Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man, Uncle Ben and Peter Parker, right? With great power comes great responsibility, and that offers a segue into the professional wrestling world, Mark. Where yesterday, it really warmed my heart to see, because we all are on this together, right? And speaking,
we're supposed to be,
yeah, and being humans together and speaking out, especially if you're white and you have any semblance of power, and power's relative, right, Mark? I mean, power, I mean, you could be, I was raised in a semi-racist family in Indiana, right? I was certainly the only non-racist for the majority of my family members, and often, a lot of the time, I felt like my back was against the wall, but I had to speak up. I had no power. I had power. I had a small semblance of power in my family, but again, sometimes that's where the change happens, when you stand up to people, when you explain your position, when you have things to say, right? So it doesn't matter if it's with your family, whether it's on social media, it doesn't matter if it's the power of Mark Henry or someone lesser. Again, it's all relative. But I bring that up because yesterday, Mark, across the social media landscape, you had WWE wrestlers speaking up and hashtagging Black Lives Matter, which was, for me, outstanding, because I sometimes feel like, especially as a white person in media, like I'm yelling into a void. like that there aren't people behind me and maybe like my Twitter or my social media is going to cost me jobs. And that's worrisome because I need all the jobs that I can have. So when a Charlotte Flair, when a Randy Orton come out and share on Twitter, Black Lives Matter, Mark, that is a huge boost to the awareness of what is trying to happen. And you had people specifically going back at Randy Orton and saying all lives matter, which you hear that a lot. Of course, guys, first of all, we don't condone rioting, obviously. And second of all, of course, all lives matter. But the key here, and Randy pointed this out to a fan on social media, all lives, theoretically, they can't matter until Black Lives Matter. Right now, clearly, what is happening in America, Mark, and what has been happening for decades, not just in the last 10 or 20 years, right? Black lives don't matter, at least not in the same category as white lives.
No,
so they
don't.
Until there is that equal, we can't even talk about all lives mattering. Of course, all lives matter. But right now, Black lives don't matter. So let's work on that.
And you know, the thing about the people, like, I feel bad for Kevin Nash and Randy and people that came out and said things and got backlash. This is the United States of America. It's founded on being a melting pot and all this bullshit. Black people came to this country in servitude, and that's the way the racists want to keep it. The truth is fear controls, and it's got to stop. And everybody got to wake up, because as much as I want peace, I don't want to have to worry about my son leaving the house. I want everybody to be respectful to each other, even in this time.
Yep. Especially in this time.
Let's not be quick to fight. Let's be quick to think, and let's increase the standard and the quality of police officer that we hire. Make it difficult to be a police officer. I make it an honorable job again. There's a lot of guys and girls out there that they don't want trouble. They want peace. They're peace officers. That's what it should be.
Yep.
And we're not England. We're not going to walk around with just a baton and no guns, because I'm pro guns. And I think that everybody should get licensed and have the right to bear arms. Know your rights. And stand true to them.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Now it is Friday Night SmackDown time, and man, I'll tell you what. This week in pro wrestling, and again, I go back to the weekly winner from Monday Night Raw to NXT to obviously AEW, and then with the capstone last night with Friday Night SmackDown, a really great, I thought, week in professional wrestling. I didn't think any show was weak really at any point.
No.
They all felt like they had great pacing. SmackDown really delivered, and it started with last night, Mark, and a little bit, I mean, it's something we don't see all the time from the company these days, and that is a little bit of the, you know, a little bit of the absurd, a little bit of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The soap opera drama, right? Jeff Hardy opening the show, or at least his rental car was. We don't know exactly what was happening. Jeff Hardy was found in a bush, led by police, arrested. Obviously, he shows up later in the show, interrupts the main event. We'll get to that in a second, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on kind of art imitating life in the WWE going down this route with Jeff Hardy, which, I mean, listen, there's a reason they were doing these video packages. There's a reason they were reminding everybody about his troubles. And now we're finding out the reason is because, you know, as we talk about so often on this show, Mark, this business and this product is best when art imitates life. And that's what they're doing with Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, man. Listen, guys, for all the people on social media that were angry that this happened, let me give you a little history lesson. When Mark Henry came into pro wrestling in 96, you know what the first angle that he had was? The very, very first one?
Tell us, Mark.
Jake Roberts was an alcoholic. He went through clinics, rehabs, and everything you can imagine. And mean old Jerry Lawler would bring a bottle of Jack Daniels to the ring. And he would just say, come on, Jake, just have one drink with me. You're going to not have a drink with me? He was temptation. And then he'd kick Jake. He'd hit Jake over the head with the bottle. And he'd rub his face in the liquor spot. And then the next week, he would sneak up on Jake, hit Jake, and pour the whole bottle of liquor in his face and down his throat. Jake loved that angle.
It was a good-ass angle.
But this is history repeating itself. The guy has had some troubles, legitimate troubles, and people are like, man, don't do that. It's in poor taste, and this is pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling.
You guys can't see Mark, but I can.
The reason that we exist in this business is to copy real life, because it is real life. You mean we're going to walk around here and make the reason we open the show with how we open the show is because you cannot gloss over reality. Glossing over reality puts you in a fictional world. We are a fine balance of reality and fiction. It's been that way since the 1800s, late 1800s. And it's going to be that way long after we're all gone. Let the business be the business. It's entertainment for us all. Don't take it personal. And enjoy it. I think that Jeff is okay with this. Otherwise, he would not have done it. He was the guy that came on backstage with us on Fox Sports 1. And he said, hey, I'm an open book. You can talk about whatever. I checked myself in and went and got help. Nobody had to force me to go get help. I was uncomfortable with seeing what I looked like in the mirror, how I was with my family and my kid. And I said, wow, that's very honorable of you. He said, you know what, man, it's the right thing to do. Bring light to the situation, because there's a lot of other people out there that are struggling with alcoholism. He's comfortable. So leave him alone. Let him live. Go out there and perform the best you can, Jeff, and we got your back. And if you ever feel like you need the backslide, call us. Ryan and I, we right here, man. We right here. And that's where everybody should be, to make it easier for him to reach out so he don't backslide. So getting back to television, I think that it's cool that they used it because of how many people are suffering and fighting with alcoholism. And they have a reference point that's not always serious about it. And they used it. So now I thought it was pretty good the way that they did it. You know, I think that the performance could have been better by the security guys and the police.
Well, you talk about the performance.
If you want to break it down, bring it down to performances.
Well, the performances, I thought the security guys, and it looked like Braun Strowman got a little caught off guard with his frizzled hair out there. It was a different look at Braun Strowman. But you talk about the performances, I thought Renee did a great job. I thought it was very believable. Yeah, I thought it was very believable. I thought a couple of the cops, you know, when they were pulling Jeff out of the bushes, I thought it was all really well done. You know what I mean? Jeff, when he was getting carried away to the cop car and Elias was being put on the ambulance stretcher, I thought that was great. It was just sold really, really well. It feels like a good angle. And now, Mark, we have the added venom and the added sort of I guess, the added storyline of Sheamus, potentially, because it feels like this is a setup. It doesn't feel like Jeff Hardy ran over Elias. I think there is foul play amiss, right?
Yeah.
But it sets up.
How did Jeff get free? He had to be innocent.
Exactly.
They had to give him a breathalyzer and realize the alcohol was on him, not in him.
Right, and now you've taken him out of this chase for the Intercontinental title, but it gives him this awesome storyline, this building storyline with probably Sheamus. It looks like Sheamus is the one who set him up, right? But
right.
It's another layer. I was honestly expecting to see Jeff to probably go through the finals. I was expecting, you know, him to get put over, but this is something even better because this is one of those situations where you don't need the title. The title is your story. That's the driving narrative. And in some instances, the real life stories are bigger than the title. And this is going to be something I think it's going to be a really interesting watch. I think it's going to be compelling television.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it could be at least second on the show, especially when you have the title with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, possibly. And then now you have created another series with Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. You killed two birds with one stone. It's like it's beautiful booking. It's the WWE once again has everybody by the short hairs, and you're gonna have two unbelievable matches as it relates to what's going on.
So where do you think this is headed? I brought up, it looks like, you know, Hardy was set up. It looks like it could potentially be Sheamus. I mean, Hardy interrupts the main event last night, allows Daniel Bryan essentially to get the win. Nice little piece of business right there, Mark. But the way it looks heading into the future, it looks like it's going to be Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. What do you think about the angle? What do you think about the matchup? I know you've been really high on Sheamus. I mean, you're forever, right? But specifically since he came back, you've been waiting for something like this. I think it really pits two great wrestlers that have a legacy behind them. Obviously, a little bit more with Jeff. But Styles make fights. There's so many layers to this that I would enjoy. Also, Sheamus can play an actual heel. Like, he can be an actual dick. And I think he's a guy that can carry the storyline in a very real way. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. Great performers, both of them.
Yeah.
Now you'll have the story that should be told is Jeff is beating the hell out of Sheamus now because of what Sheamus did, and he knows that Sheamus is wrong. He knows already Sheamus was responsible for what happened, but everybody else just don't know. But say they get into it, and they said, okay, this is what happened, and it looks like Sheamus is going to win. And who comes out of the bushes, if for lack of a better term, but Elias causes Sheamus to lose, and he's the one that tells the story. No, it was Sheamus that caused the accident. Sheamus is the one that took a bottle of liquor out. Before I passed out, the last thing I saw was Sheamus pouring alcohol all over Jeff Hardy. And not only did he lose to Jeff Hardy, next week he's going to lose to me because you caused me pain. You caused me to be out. I lost money. I lost my prestige, my shot at being the champion. And that's the thing. Elias got screwed out of being the champ.
Right.
Jeff Hardy got screwed out of being the champ. Both by Sheamus. Now, Sheamus, being the heel that he is not going to be able to fight both of these guys. He's going to have to recruit somebody to help him. So there's three options of things that could happen.
Hmm.
And that's the way wrestling keeps unfolding. And you have to be able to write and produce to where you can think ahead, not just in what's going on right now. I always say, guys, calm down, pump the brakes, relax, just let what's happening happen, because there's layers of things that have not unfolded yet that we don't understand because the whole story has not been divulged.
All right, judge it 5 years from now.
Yeah, not even 5 years. Can we judge it like 3 months from now after this happened?
There you go.
Just give us a break.
You're much more forgiving than I am.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
The back and forth between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan was obviously a special. AJ Styles, one of the rare entities in this business, Mark, where I think he is a top, top babyface, and I think he is a top, top heel. It is just rare when you get someone who I think is good on both ends of the spectrum. I think the two for me that immediately come to mind are Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. I think both of them can walk that line in a very real way and do a great job, but aside from the interaction between those two, AJ Styles, obviously, and Daniel Bryan, I love that interaction between everybody in the locker room that was kind of setting up the battle royal that would later go to Sheamus and obviously him winning, but that it just felt more natural. I don't know if they're allowing for a little bit more of an unscripted nature. I thought that happened. It came through on Monday Night Raw, but I really liked that whole segment from the interaction between those two to the entire locker room. It just had a great feel to it. But I will ask you this. Who the hell was the bald guy? Who was the mediator? Like, they threw this authority figure essentially into the mix. I had no idea who the shit he was.
Well, I guess Jamie Noble, who you recognize.
No, I know Jamie. No, the bigger guy, the security guy.
Right. Well, he wasn't really a security guy. He was one of the agents.
And, oh, okay.
He and Jamie, they kind of fit the same role. It's just that Jamie was in the first segment outside with Elias going to the hospital. And I guess they figured, you know what, he's going to the hospital with Elias. We got to have somebody else. And that kind of was his debut, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, being on screen. And also, I think he did a good job. It's just that nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, that was the thing. But I I'm glad that you brought that up, because now it kind of brings into, I guess, clearer focus exactly what WWE was trying to do last night, and that was to take us behind the curtain, right? You saw the guy come over with the headset, and he was like, hey, you know, Elias is going to be out. You know, this is going to happen with the tournament. This is the pivot we need to make. So essentially, we're watching the television being made on television.
And would be more real. That's the way it is. Right. You know, you're getting information as it's going. And the fans got to see last night what it's like to move on the fly.
Yeah, especially when wrestlers are taken out with rental cars and there's alcohol in the car. Oh my gosh, the drama. But Mark, I want to go back to that back and forth between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. I thought it was really well done. I thought it had good laughs in there. I thought Daniel Bryan sold well. I thought AJ Styles, again, as a heel, is just, it's as good as you can get. And it's not even full heel AJ. Like, what we're dealing with now is almost like, I don't even know what you could call it, but it's a more likable, more likable version of a heel.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And I've known you for a long time. Like, I'm just like, y'all need to cut it out. Y'all sound like the way guys would be talking if it was a fight and it was an argument. Like, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. Won't you come over here and do something about it, stupid? Like, that's what it is.
Yep, that's what it is.
It was plays off reality.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Now, you talk about the players being off or the playing off reality. Obviously, the Intercontinental Title Tournament Finals. Now, you're going to see AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. I would expect, as we talk about reality and pulling the curtain back, I would expect a pretty real match between those two. We're talking about two of the greatest tacticians, technical wrestlers of their generation for the Intercontinental Championship in a tournament final during a pandemic. Mark, I hope I'm not setting the bar too high, but I really don't think I am. I have high expectations for Daniel Bryan. And
I mean, I have super high expectations, just like you, Ryan, because... Yeah. We look at what happened this week in wrestling. Just look at this week. Don't look at nothing past Monday. The matches that we had, from Apollo Crews matches, from, you know, NXT on both shows. I mean, on both shows on Wednesday, NXT and AEW matches. And then you have the matches that, you know, I have to point out the fact that Riddle and Thatcher's match was spectacular, unlike anything we've seen in a long time. So that being said, do you think the pride of Daniel Bryan and the pride of AJ Styles is going to allow them to play second fiddle to any match that was on this week? No, sir. Next week, leading up into the pay-per-views, is going to be monstrous. The stuff that's going to happen is going to be quick. It's going to be a lot of it because you got to get all the matches on the pay-per-view prefaced with what happens next week. But this is going to be a pay-per-view that we're going to remember for a long time, man. I think that the way it's building, is building like we want to. This is like SummerSlam almost. Like this is the biggest storylines that we've seen in a while. We wanted stories, we got them.
Yeah, we do. And you talk about the flow, right? You talk about the storylines and action packed. Obviously, you looked a little bit ahead to next week, but just how about last night in terms of Friday Night SmackDown, the amount of content that was packed into this show. I mean, you brought up Matt Riddle. We're going to talk about Matt Riddle. Obviously, he had that great match with Tim Thatcher on Wednesday night at NXT. Yeah, he also, he sort of made his debut last night on SmackDown, at least his video package did, right? There was just so much. We haven't even gotten to Bayley in that match with Lacey, or excuse me, Sasha and that match with Lacey and Bayley on commentary, or that was with Alexa. I'm sorry, I'm getting my matches confused, but you get what I'm saying. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make. There was so much to it that you almost forgot, but Mark, when you were watching it, it didn't feel that way. You had a little bit of drama to start the show. You had a little bit of comedy with AJ Styles. You had some technical wrestling. You had some bruisers. You know, you had Sheamus winning the Battle
Royal.
You got a little New Day with a moment of bliss. You had so much packed into this show, but it didn't feel like it. It felt very natural.
It felt like the show went really fast, too.
Yeah.
A couple of times I got up to take meat off the barbecue pit, but when I came back, I was like, well, what happened? What happened? What happened? And Jacob was, Dad, you're not going to believe this. And then I was like, rewind it. No, I don't want to rewind. So we had to rewind the show two times. The show was about 30 minutes longer than it should have been because of me rewinding and having to watch stuff all over
again. Hey, barbecue is very important. You know,
hey man, look, when the ribs got to come off, the ribs got to come off.
Exactly. You didn't spend all that time just to screw it up. You know what I mean? If you got to put a hold on the DVR, you can do that. This isn't the 80s, Mark. You don't have to wait around the radio with your one tape trying to catch that single so you can keep it for the rest of the month. You know what I mean?
You know what it is. That's old school right there. There's a lot of people right now going, oh man, I did that.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
You ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, you heard the music, pro wrestling fans. Hour two of Busted Open Radio getting underway. And that's right, it is time for the weekly winner. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell. That is the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. And Mark, we were talking about it in hour one intermittently. What a great, like a truly great week for professional wrestling. Some weeks, the weekly winner isn't that difficult. Other weekends, or weeks, I should say, like today, it's a little bit harder. I wouldn't, when you look at the landscape of pro wrestling, you look at all these shows that we talk about, I wouldn't grade anyone lower than a B for this week. So, I mean, it was just an incredible week in pro wrestling. But I want to know, as we get the weekly winner started, who was your A show? Who was your weekly winner for the week that was in pro wrestling, Mark Henry?
You know what, man? It's hard to beat what happened on AEW with Mike Tyson showing up and him having a collection of UFC stalwarts, if you will, and the interaction between he and Jericho and where that's going to lead to. I mean, just watching, I can't believe that I'm saying like Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy has stepped his game up, and I enjoyed, you know, the psychology in the match. And MJF is just a, what does Dave call him? A human stain.
A human stain.
He is just a stain on pro, but he is a good, dirty stain on pro wrestling.
When people talk about, I know you guys had Mark Calloway on last Friday, right? The Undertaker, and he was battling with, you know, kayfabe being dead. You know, Undertaker's got social media and everything is over. Kayfabe is officially dead. Let me tell you something. Kayfabe is not dead until MJF is off planet Earth. MJF is dedicated in a way to being a heel that I have not seen. I don't know. I mean, I didn't like really grow up in the territory years, so I didn't see people like getting stabbed and like Ollie Anderson going out there and like the chaos. I wasn't really enveloped in all of that. I was more of an Attitude Era kid, right? But like, I have friends that have done profiles for pretty high level publications on MJF over the last year or so. This man is never out of character, like never. He's a heel 100% of the time. And that to me, I mean, Mark, to anyone who loves pro wrestling, absolutely. How, I mean, we have to give, I know he's like 24 fucking years old or whatever it is, but like, we seriously have to start talking about giving MJF his flowers, because the work that he's putting in right now, I'm not talking about like a legacy. I'm just saying where he's headed and the dedication that he shows to the business. I know he is an unlikable person. I know Dave calls him a human stain, and I don't blame Dave. I would too if MJF said what he said about me like he did to Dave, but it's just, it's an incredible dedication of the art.
Yeah, and as eventually we're going to hear the story about how he got in the fight at the Circle K. We're going to hear the story about how he got a fight at the gym.
At the Waffle House,
like,
right.
At the Waffle House. Like, it's he is taking it to that level. And I think that it's, you know, if God bless him. If you got the energy for that lifestyle, then hey, man, do your thing. But also, in the same breath, I go to Wednesday and I see a match with Thatcher and Riddle. And the beauty of that match was it was a structure that I had never seen before in wrestling. It was a first. What? And it was something that I would like to see more of, especially with Shayna Baszler. Yeah. I think that could be the structure that Shayna Baszler brings in or ushers in with the women. With that being said, Kurt Angle was involved in that match as a referee, and the beauty of it is Kurt Angle didn't interfere in anything. He handled it like a referee should have handled it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, even with the stoppage and collecting the teeth, I mean, you see, how often do you see a match where the chicklets really get spit out?
Then you never. A memorable spot, to say the least.
Right. So there's a lot of things that happened in that match that gave it a one leg up. And, you know, Drake Maverick, shit, he has turned the corner, and they're starting to use really elaborate ways to get finishes. like they did with the cover and the submission at the same time. Like, so, I mean, this week, I mean, I would have to give AEW an A, and I have to give NXT an A. B plus for Raw, B plus for SmackDown.
That's fair, yeah.
And you really have to go back to what else happened on those matches, on those shows. And the women's matches on both shows were great. And a lot of the reason is at NXT, you had a champion wrestling an unknown. And Miss J was exceptional. And I have to like peek my head in and say, you know what? This is my buddy's wife. And about 3 years ago, she said that she wanted to start wrestling. And I directed her to some schools and got her some tryouts. She's tried out with the WWE before, but mostly she works the indies. And she went in and put over that match like a champ. And that's hopefully AEW will hire her full on now. But hell of a job. Hell of a job.
So... And so, Mark, it sounds like, because we're kind of all over the map because it was such a great, you know, week in pro wrestling. You brought up Raw. I thought Raw was outstanding. A B-plus, I think, was a more than fair grade. But it sounds like you're leaning AEW for your best.
I'm leaning AEW because I hadn't even gotten to the fact that you had a reveal, really, of the tag team from the WWE that showed up and came down, drove a really nice... old Ford truck down to the ring and jumped out a la Cody. They didn't run into a little barricade or anything, but they drove down, they got out, they came in, handled business. And the new name is escaping me.
FTR. Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson getting it and, in.
Man, they came in and did a hell of a job, made an impact, and left the same glory that they showed up. And well, I'd have to give the edge to AEW. And you know, the way that we phrase it is, if you're not first, you're last.
That's right.
So AEW comes in first again.
AEW first for Mark Henry. And we're going to talk a little bit more about AEW coming up in the next segment, because there's more I want to get to with FTR and Britt Baker and just a lot of good stuff from AEW. But Mark, I am in complete agreement with you in terms of AEW and NXT being the best shows of the week. But Raw and SmackDown were not that far behind. And specifically what I loved about Raw, and I just want to touch on this real quick, and I don't know if you saw this or if it resonated with you. It felt like to me that there was more leeway given to the talent, whether it be, you know, Kevin Owens when he was, you know, he started the show, or at different points throughout the show, it just felt like every promo was a little bit more natural. Like, did you, did you get that feeling? Maybe that Raw wasn't going so heavy on the script on Monday? Because it sure felt that way to me.
It definitely felt that way. And you can tell that that's the way it was, because at one point, Kevin was so spectacular in hosting and opening that show, and Charlotte coming down to the ring and getting Charlotte getting in the ring. He made her pop. He laughed. He made her laugh. Like, that was real. That was, you go back and look at that show, and Kevin did his damn thing. And I feel now like I'm slighting Raw and SmackDown. I think that it was more A minus show for Raw and SmackDown, and A plus shows for NXT and AEW. This was an incredibly good week of pro wrestling across the board. And I take back my B pluses and give A minuses. And but I still have to give the A plus to AEW and the A plus for NXT.
Yeah, and my weekly winner was NXT, and I'm not going to be a contrarian or to go opposite of you for the Wednesday show, Mark. It's kind of like what you said, and in all due respect to AEW, which had a really, really great show, as we talked about. But when you look at that main event that NXT had, and yes, full disclosure, I am a Matt Riddle mark. Obviously, in the MMA space, I knew Matt before he transitioned to WWE. I did a story on Matt for Yahoo Sports about 4 or 5 5 years ago. I've always liked what the guy is about. I've always respected his path to the WWE, obviously being let go from the UFC on a 4-fight win streak. For those that don't remember, Dana White was extremely venomous when he let Matt Riddle go, right? Matt Riddle was essentially let go for a positive drug test for marijuana, whatever. It's legal in like a million states now. It's not really the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is Dana White essentially made it a vendetta against Matt Riddle. Essentially, what's this dummy going to do? That's what he said about Matt Riddle. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was essentially, what's this idiot going to do? He can't fight now. What's he going to do? He's going to go make, you know, he's no rocket scientist, that Matt Riddle. Let me tell you something. Matt Riddle is infinitely better off in the WWE than he ever would have been fighting in the UFC. And you're seeing that, and we saw that on Wednesday night, Mark, with a proper send-off to a guy who has dedicated a good portion of his WWE life and a good portion of his pro wrestling life to NXT. You give him that send-off, and Mark, he does the job, right? He does the job for Tim Thatcher. He puts him over clean in a really great match. They're 1-1 in their rivalry. I would expect that we're going to see more of that because this went back to not just the WWE. Thatcher and Riddle obviously battling in Evolve, and they've got a history, right? But the match itself, you talked about not seeing anything like that fight pit. It's not entirely true, but I do get what you're saying. We certainly haven't seen it in a generation. But
that
I think
style.
But I think the common theme or the common thread that you could draw was the match between Owen Hart and Ken Shamrock, you know, 20-plus years ago.
Yeah.
There was some similarities there, but in terms of the athletes and in terms of, and at that time, listen, that was some revolutionary shit. Owen Hart, Ken Shamrock battling in essentially what was a cage. I think it was a circular cage, if I remember correctly. Either way, they did some stuff off the cage, but you really saw that on Wednesday with Riddle and Thatcher, the creativity, Riddle running off the cage and kind of imitating the Showtime Anthony Pettis kick. There was a lot of cool spots in there, and it felt real, which is really hard to do when you're actually dealing with a real fighter in Matt Riddle who left the UFC on a 4-0 win streak, right? Right? And then a guy, Tim Thatcher, who's a real shooter, a guy who's seemingly as believable as all hell that could go into a bar and wipe the floor with you, to have him win in that way, in a submission. I just want to say, I think it speaks volumes to the character and the person that Matt Riddle is and the love that he has for the business, because Mark, he didn't have to do that. He's a pro fighter. He was a pro fighter with a really good record. And to lose via submission, I mean, some guys that could, you know, make them feel like it makes them look weak or it diminishes what they did in the UFC.
But that's an investment.
Yep.
I tell people all the time that wrestling is an investment in the working. In the work, you have to invest. And down the road, this is going to come up. The package is going to be showed. The first win went to Riddle. The second win went by submission to Thatcher. And they'll be on a grander stage. How about WrestleMania next year? The rubber match.
How about opening the show?
Brother, in the same structure, in the cage, like they did, it'd be unbelievable. But let's go back, and there's so many things that you could chew on. We as much as I still give the nod to Mike Tyson being anywhere. Anytime I see Mike Tyson, I'm like all about that life. But there was a point on NXT where it was like a 1920s talkie movie where nobody talked. Scarlett Bordeaux, that's how you say her name?
Bordeaux. Yeah, there you go.
Came down to the ring, not saying a word, using a series of different looks.
With Ciampa.
Then you had Ciampa looking back at her like, what? He went from what do you want look to, oh, where is he? Is he finna attack me from behind? To, what do you want? Why are you staring at me? But there was no words being exchanged. And then Scarlett walked away. And she never took a... It was like, I'm walking away, but I'm going to keep looking at you.
Got that
I'm going to keep letting you know that I don't really like you, but I'm watching you because I need to know everything there is to know about you. And then you have Cross start talking. He made pertinent information. He announced it to everybody how he felt and what was going to happen.
Yeah, he brought weight to it, Mark.
He brought weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ciampa could stand there and he could react. And his reactions were just as good as Scarlett's. And then Scarlett never took her eyes. She walked off the stage and turning, keeping her eyes on him. and walking off, and then right before she disappeared through the curtain, boom, she walked. She, brother, the drama of that segment was masterful without words. That's pro wrestling. I told you, I've seen guys have five-star matches with a broomstick. Literally. I watched Al Snow have a match with a styrofoam head. There's people that are talented in this business, in their acting, in their performance,
yeah,
that supersede their work. There's been a lot of guys that can talk better than they can work. Then you get a Ric Flair that can talk and work. You get a Rock that can talk and work.
Sure,
you get
sure.
a Stone Cold. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. But there are some people, and Wednesday, we got to see Ciampa, and we got to see Scarlett Bordeaux.
There you go.
I got it.
You got it. Nailed it.
Put it together like nobody could.
And Mark, a glimpse into the future.
Yeah.
As we talk about Man. Thatcher and Riddle in WrestleMania, oh, come on. Ciampa and Cross. I mean, it's, you can put up with anybody. Ciampa and Cole. Cross and Cole. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, the talent. Dream and Ciampa. Dream and Cross. But, I mean, there is clear an overflowing of the cup of talent at NXT. And as Mark said, you saw it on Wednesday with just looks between Scarlett and Ciampa. And then when Cross took the screen with a very unconventional promo. Just his eyes. Yeah. Right? Which I love because I'll tell you what.
Little brow every now and then.
Yep.
Just to get more. But brother, like, this was a week of wrestling that I could watch this, and I might watch all four shows again tonight just so I could entertain myself. And I mean, this pandemic hell, you know, I got the weekend to watch pro wrestling again. I'm watching all four shows. I might skip through a few things, but it won't be much.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.